Cool. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Lord, this is the day that you have made. And Lord, we want to rejoice today and be glad in it and be glad in you. Lord, thank you that we can celebrate this event today, Lord, of the crucifixion of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, God. And so, Father, we want to pray this morning that you would open our hearts, every heart, that you would even now till the soil of every heart in this place, Lord, that when your word comes today, when the worship comes today, Lord, that you would fill us, that we would know the truth, God, and that that truth would set us free. Lord, we want to be jubilant in our spirits. Would you come and help us to rejoice, Lord, in you this morning and in what you have done? And Father, we pray that you come and anoint this time. We need you. We are hungry and we are thirsty for you, Lord. Yes. Would you come and fill us afresh? Pour out your new wine. Pour out your oil. Pour out your spirit, Lord, that we might be drenched and give you honor, glory. And may your name be glorified today, Lord, like never before. And we ask this and we all said, amen. Amen.
Love it, Declan. Thanks, Boo. You know what? It is an exciting day today. Really. And I just love how the Holy Spirit has already started just connecting hearts in this place. We had a prayer meeting upstairs and we've had some beautiful words come through. And Donna, I know I haven't prepped you, but if you just want to share what you felt in the prayer meeting for us.
Good morning. So usually around this time we end up singing songs that have got the lyrics like his body broken, his love poured out, and about the Lord being crushed, or his body being crushed. And the Lord reminded me in the prayer meeting of sometimes when you are walking amongst herbs and you take a herb and you crush it in your hands, how it releases this fragrance. Or it even remains on your hands later. You can smell mint or whatever it is that when you crush it, you can smell that aroma. And my prayer was just that today, as we focus on the Lord's body being broken for us today, that aroma of that brokenness just spreads today amongst us. And the beauty of the Lord's aroma is here.
Beautiful, beautiful. And we're going to go into a time of worship and Michael, you and your guys, thank you so much for being here early this morning and prepping. But for us, as a congregation, as friends, as followers of Jesus, let us prepare our hearts. I've just got such a strong sense this morning that the Father wants our attention. And that we would open our hearts for Him. You know, before we came, become believers, our hearts were hardened. But the minute we lift Him up and we see Him for who He is on the cross, He made a way for us. And He's replaced our heart of stone with a heart of flesh. And even if you're not a believer, even if you're not sure if you're a believer, my hope this morning is that you would position yourself and keep your eyes on Him. Father, we thank you for Joey, Lord. We thank you for what you've laid on his heart, Lord. Father, as he shares, Lord, we ask that your word falls onto fertile soil, Lord. Father, I ask that every heart would be positioned towards you now, Lord. That our hearts would be open, Lord. And yeah, Lord, that we would receive it well, Lord. Father, thank you for pulling our gaze back onto you. Amen.
Amen. Morning. Thanks, guys, for an amazing time of worship. That was easily could have gone on longer. I'm just keeping things very tight this morning. So just, if you are a visitor with us today, hi, my name is Joey. I'm an elder in the 11 a.m. congregation, which we think is the best congregation. But I will say this, it's a good thing to think that your congregation is the best. Otherwise, why are you there, right? So praise God. But yeah, we're all equal and we all love each other. So this is a pretty big weekend for let's call it Christianity globally. And I mean, churches around the world are meeting this morning and have already met if they're ahead of us and will meet. And so two big days, Friday and Sunday. So today we remember the death of Jesus. And Friday, of course, being historically, the Jewish Passover. Jesus crucified on Friday. And on Sunday, we commemorate Jesus rising from the dead on the third day. So I wanted to say today that it's not just a remembrance and a historical remembrance. Today, those 2 days, Friday, today, Jesus' death, and Sunday, Jesus' resurrection, means something personally. They both mean something personally for each one of us. They're important days for each one of us. So I wanted to talk about that today. It's not going to be long. I'm going to keep it tight. So as was mentioned before already, today is both a sad and reflective thing and a happy thing in one moment. It is the perfect combination, and that's the name of my preach, of bittersweet. It's a bittersweet moment. But I want to say that the sweetness for both us and him far outweighs the bitterness. And that is why we sing so happily today, even though it's a somber day in some respect. Getting my English right before the English teachers. So we focus on the cross. We focus on Friday. I'll let the guys that are leading Sunday focus on Sunday, resurrection. And I will touch on that today as well, because it's hard to focus on the one without the other. Some churches today, they're just camping around the cross. They're just looking at the cross, but they're not moving on from the cross. The cross means something. It means life. And you can't just stay at the cross. You got to go from the cross. What does the cross lead us to? So we got to look at not just Friday, but we got to look at Sunday as well together. And it's hard to separate them. But I'll do as much as possible to not ruin it for the Sunday guys who got to do the resurrection. So Jesus said to his disciples before he went to the cross, and this is in John 16, verse 20 in the NIV to 21. "Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn." So this is just before he goes to the cross, you know, he's prepping them. "You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve," and here's where it turns, "but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into that world." Now I want to say today, symbolically, that we as born-again believers are that child. That the pain of the cross, because of what it achieves in this room today and around the world today, that pain is almost, it shouldn't be, we must always remember, but it almost sits as a backseat to the joy of new life and new birth. And that's what we've seen today. It's such a bittersweet, yes, for the English teachers, juxtaposition. Contrast. Bring out the big guns. So, and here's a scripture for that. Romans 8:29. "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he," that is Jesus, "might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." So Jesus was the first. And how many generations have passed over the 2,000 years that just keep on reproducing more and more brothers and sisters? That Jesus, we're not only sons and daughters of God, that we are also, we can call Jesus our brother. Hebrews 12 also tells us about Jesus' own motivation to go to the cross. Hebrews 12:2, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." And I want to say that the joy that was set before him, obviously it was to please the Father, perhaps primarily. But I can't help thinking that part and a huge part of the joy that was set before him was seeing what that sacrifice purchased us sitting here today. That was the joy. Like, he's here right now. Look, do you think Jesus is not happy right now? He's here with us here. We've worshipped him and he's here with us. Do you not think he's looking out going, "This is what I did it for. This is what I did it for"? So we're going to do 3 points of remembrance today. I'm not going to go big on it, yeah? So number one, Jesus accomplished a complete restoration for mankind on the cross, an opportunity for that. It is the greatest. You know, I've got this Time magazine at home, and every now and then they let out a Time centennial, like the greatest acts of the greatest things that happened in the last 100 years, or history rather. This one particular one was history, and on this Time magazine, it was a picture of Christ, or a historical picture of Christ, and underneath was monotheism. So basically, you know, he brought monotheism, and that was according to time. And then he was relegated to one picture in a quadrant. The other three, one was like Gandhi, and the other one was like, you know, some other random person, you know. Sorry, I'm not saying Gandhi is random. I'm sure he was awesome too. But Jesus is not like that. The events of the cross is not something that gets relegated to a minor happening that alongside Gandhi and the rest. It is the central marking place in history. Everything in history is designed for that point, and everything that comes from that point. It's huge. Point two, the cross was the only way. There was no other way. And we'll look at that. And finally, three, we will remember today, which you've already started to touch on, who he has made us in him. All right, you ready? So, when we look at the genealogy of Jesus, we see this. This is in Luke 3:23. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought. Good thing Luke put it in there to keep it theologically correct. Of Joseph, because obviously Joseph wasn't, it was only his symbolic father. It wasn't his actual genetic father because of the virgin birth. So, it was thought of Joseph, the son of Heli. Then we go through 64 generations, so I'm not going to read them all, but if you're super interested and keen, you may go and see them, read them all for yourself, 64 names. And then we get to towards the end, or actually in this case, the beginning, Luke 3:38, at the end of that genealogy. So the son of, eventually verse 38, who was the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Isn't that interesting? Adam, the son of God. And that we are also called sons of God. Galatians 3:25-26 in the ESV. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. So Jesus has restored us back to sonship. Adam had sweet relationship with God his Father. We have been given access to sweet relationship with God as Father. I've done restoration. It can be that fast, guys. Number two, when I started, I said that today is a bittersweet day for us. When we behold the cross, it is both, I'm thinking, where am I going with this point? I'm just reading right now. Horrific and glorious in one moment. Let me just check where I'm going. Okay. I'm doing this no other way. The cross was a horrible way to die. Not only the physical pain of a Roman flogging, and on top of that, a Roman crucifixion. That the Jewish historian Josephus, in 100 AD, described crucifixion as the most pitiable of deaths. But also, not only all that punishment, the sin of the world laid on him. Every bad thing ever done laid on him. So, a horrible thing, not only physically, but a horrible thing spiritually. Maybe horrible is too small a word. The most hectic thing we could ever imagine. We actually can't even imagine. A holy God to take on the sin of Hitler. I mean, imagine that he gets blamed. Every pedophile on Jesus. But he takes it. I don't know what he was fearing more, Jesus, or I don't know, maybe fearing is the right word, because Jesus is only faith, and faith is opposite of fear, is opposite of faith. But what he was wrestling with, But we understand from Scripture that there was no other way for this work to be done. Jesus said, unless I go or die, he, the Holy Spirit, cannot come to you. We see that in John 16:7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away or die, the Advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Or die, I will send him to you. Will not come to you is a strong phrase. It means will not come to you. There was no other way. There was basically no choice. Either Jesus died for us, or we all die. So that moment when Jesus was wrestling with this thing of taking on not only this physical punishment, but also taking on the sin of the world. And it would have been tangible for him because he was God in the flesh, right? He would have known. You know, it wasn't concept. He would have been like, this is every single sin. All of our sin. Every single thing that we've messed up in. He would have gone, he would have seen it all. So Matthew 26:39, he says, going a little further, he fell with his face, this is Jesus, to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Which is the cross, the imminent cross. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And how many times do we have to have that same conversation with God? Not as I will, but as you will. Because there's lots of things the Lord has led us through and will lead us through that we don't really have an appetite for. If there was any other way for us to be saved, then it would have been done another way. Do you think the Father had any pleasure in sending his beloved son to such an awful death? If there's any other way, he would have done it. And Isaiah 53:5 says, and Donna touched, so Donna's my beautiful wife of not as many years as Marius, but 23 years. 23? 22? 23 this month. As Donna touched on about him being crushed, but he was pierced for our transgressions. This is Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And Donna didn't know what I was preaching. I didn't share my preach with her. The punishment, that's what the Lord's saying. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. It's almost like we just need to look at that for a moment there. I mean, Isaiah wrote it, prophesying Jesus, but there's just so much there. I mean, if you ever wanted a fridge magnet, probably not going to be a popular one. Maybe it is. But if you ever wanted a fridge magnet that can just cut us to the heart every day, maybe that on the fridge would do it. There's just so much there. And it's the picture of bittersweet, right? Punishment on him, peace on us. Thank you, Declan. Praise God. And Declan knows. Declan knows. And if you know Declan's testimony, he knows. Okay, that's two done, which is there was only one way. Okay, it's that easy. You can get through it that quick. Number three. Jesus not only died to free us from our sins, he died so that we can become a new person. Too many guys focus on this day just on the removal of sin, which is critical, right? Because we can't have a relationship with God unless the sin is removed. Critical. And I mean, it's hard to see, you know, what is more important. Maybe they're all equally important. But how many focus on that it gives us the power to become born again? Born not of a husband's will or the decision of man, but born of God. And when we become born again, it makes us into new people, not new people that pretend. Our hearts have been changed. It changes our hearts. We're different people. I'm not the same person I was before. You guys heard my testimony. My mom picked me up after, and I was a horror, you know, to my mom. 18 years old, I got saved. I'm 53 now. She picks me up, 54. Can't keep up. 55 in June. There we go. It's all in Jesus. And picks me up, 18 years old. I've been saved 1 month. We're driving home from there, and I was honestly, I was a terrible son. And she looks at me astonished, and she says, "You're not the same person anymore." I had not studied a degree in theology. I had not been discipled by the great men of God. I was born again. That's all it took. Romans 6:4. Now we're getting excited. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And that's what I'm preaching today, is a new life. So Jesus going to the cross today is not only to take away our sins, it's to give us a new life. And new in every respect of the word. New. On a more somber moment, today we not only commemorate Jesus' death, we also commemorate our death. Colossians 3:3 says, and I'll explain that in a sec for those of you confused, because I know you're thinking, "Well, I'm alive here right now." I'll explain in a sec. Well, why don't I explain straight away? Romans 6:6-7. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." Colossians 3:3 says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." It's so important that we remember today that we died. It's like critical. It's so, I've overused it. It's so important. If you don't remember that you've died, you're going to be in a weird place. You're going to be halfway between your old life and your new life. Jesus didn't die, as we commemorate today, so that we could be halfway. He died a full death so that we could also die a full death. We are dead people sitting here today. Our old man is nailed to the cross with him. And I wanted to give an altar call a little bit later with regards to that, because I feel like, and I'm not going to shame you, and I doubt we'll do ministry the front's up to Morris, but maybe even if you can just stand and raise your hand and those around you, and you do that business with God, but they can just stand with you, that you, on this day that we remember how much he did on the cross for us, that if we've been living halfway, that remembering his death today and remembering our death today would make us want to go, "I'm turning back on my old life. I'm not going to live halfway anymore by God's grace. I'm dead, and I'm going to let my old self stay dead." Because he might call to you, "Hey, Margot, let me out the grave." Margot knows me well. I can use an example. Or call you back there, and you just go, "No, I'm a new Joey. I'm a new Margot. I'm a new Mary. I'm a new Mark. My old self was nailed to the cross. So today, remember your death, the death of your old man." And this is not like hopeful philosophy. This is scripture. You might not believe it, but your old man has been crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul's talking, which is true for us too. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I think we live too much in the halfway. We live too much just trying to be good, when we actually realize we've been transformed already. And all we need to do is let go of our old self and believe it. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he didn't just see sin taken away. He saw new creations. I hope you feel this today, that you are a new creation. The Lord wants you to. There's so much power in that. I had a much longer preach. I've got about another 5 pages of stuff that I have to cast aside for the sake of time. This is one scripture that Paul says, I want to know the power of your resurrection and being united in you in your death. Today, let us know the power of his resurrection and being united with him in his death. Oh. The devil's going to say it's too extreme. It's not extreme, it's the only way. Some, his disciple says to Jesus, it was too extreme. No, Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross. I'm sure there's a better way. But he went extreme. Listen, sad news, unless Jesus comes from first, we all die. It's the sad news. Sorry, guys. Like, we're dealing with the matters of life and death now and eternity and hell. These are big things, and we've got to pay big prices if we want the prize. I mean, Jesus preaches about this over and over again. Unless you hate your life, you know all that stuff. There is a cost, but the cost is worth it. Riches are in his hand. I'm not necessarily talking about financial riches. Riches are in his right hand. Love is in his heart. Compassion is in his eyes. But we must do it his way, the way his son did it. And he's not asking us to do anything that he didn't do himself. And that's what it means to be joined to Jesus. So the happy moment, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Amen? So I'm going to transition you to the happy moment now. And to do that, I'm going to tell you the story of the ugly duckling. And as I prepared this, I thought, Jay, are you as brave to do this on a Good Friday? But here we go. So in the story of the ugly duckling, it's by Hans Christian Andersen, who is a Finnish author, Danish author. And the story is like, who's not heard the story of the ugly duckling? Ethan, have you heard the story of the ugly duckling? Because if you haven't, we have failed as parents. So in the story of the ugly duckling, for those of you that don't know the story, a swan's egg gets accidentally mixed in with the duck eggs. Okay? One swan's egg with many duck's eggs. This is the story, okay? It's fiction, okay? They all hatch, okay? All of the eggs hatch. But maybe it did happen, okay? Just throwing it out there. And the baby swan does not look good. Okay, and here's the contrast I got to pick for you. So pick one, please. So they all hatch, and this is what they look like. Now, look at the ducklings. They're all yellow and cool, and they got vibe. I mean, they're yellow. How can you be yellow and not have vibe? I mean, you can feel the vibe in the room. And then we have the swan, who is thereafter known as the ugly duckling. Because they don't know that he's a swan, right? They're just like, bro, you do not have vibe. I mean, even your feathers are not cool. They're like kind of, they're a bit like, old age hair. Before it gets shaved. If you don't know it, you can speak tomorrow, so. So the baby swan, I'm telling the story, right? I'm summarizing. If you can go read it yourself. Is it a whole book? Just a small part, okay. So this baby swan, it's more than 100 years, so it's public domain, free, okay? We're not skirting any copyright. So this baby swan has a rough time. All the ducklings call him ugly. And resultingly, he has massive rejection issues, okay? During the winter, so we're progressing with the story. During the winter, all the baby ducklings and the baby swan mature. They become adults. So the baby swan, previously now matured, is swimming along with his rejection issues. And he suddenly catches a glimpse of his reflection in the water. This is the story. A beautiful adult swan. If we can bring up pick two. Now who has the vibe? I mean, I cannot help looking at that duck and not laughing. See, the first will be last and the last will be first. And this is the moral of the story, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And this is the happiness, the sweetness, because of the crushing. But we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. We look like God. I know some of you on a journey right now, you don't 100% look like God, but through the power, through the process of sanctification, you are getting there. Thank you. But because you are in Jesus, God sees Jesus. He sees you perfect. You're hidden in Christ. He sees you perfect. When you come before Him, you are sweet aroma to Him. Maybe you've got to sort out some stuff if you've been naughty, but He longs to have you back. So, and I did the King James version on that one because the Greek word for beholding in a mirror is katopritomenoi, which means beholding as in a mirror. None of the other translations did it. It actually literally means, are you looking in a mirror and seeing who God has made you? When that swan is going along, it thinks it sucks. It's got all the rejection stuff, but it looks into the reflection in the water and it goes, I'm beautiful. How did that happen? Until it happened to you, if you accepted Christ, you're beautiful in His sight. And you need to shift from any rejection issues if you've got them and discard the ugly duckling and become the swan. So that is our sweet moment today, what Jesus has done for us. He has transformed us into beautiful creatures that reflect Him. So, Maurice, can I do a call? Yeah. So maybe we can just stand for a moment and respond to that word. Or maybe just close your eyes just so we can focus on Him. Or maybe someone on the keys can go up just to soften the mood. And we can just contemplate God. So, guys, today, and just keep your eyes closed. Today, we remember on Good Friday what Jesus did and that He went to the cross. And I pray that the weight of that, the intentionality of that, it wasn't just one moment that He got beamed down from heaven and then went to the cross. He was born from a mother. I mean, He was in a womb. He came to earth in the form of a baby. Then He lived on earth. Historians say 33 years. The Bible says 30 plus His ministry, so we can assume 33 years. That's 33 years of intentionality for this day, because He came to die. He had one purpose: live a perfect life, so that He can be a perfect offering. And I just feel like some of us might need to repent today if you've just kind of been halfway. You've been like, it's too extreme to go all the way. But there is only one way. Jesus says, if you don't hate your life, you will lose it. We must walk away from our old lives. We must embrace that we are new creations. Not by man. Not by a husband's will, not by man's decision, but born of God. So think about how we're walking, and we're all brothers and sisters. Yeah, most of us in Josh Gen. There's a lot of accountability. There's a lot of discipleship. So I know, maybe I'm biased, but I think the standard is high. But even despite that, I know that it doesn't matter who you are, an elder, whatever, you've got those days, you know, where you don't remember what He did on the cross. And today I feel like the Lord's saying, I want you to remember. And I want you to carry that every day of your life. And the scripture for that is, Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Well, you got to remember, when we wake up in the morning, you do that for me. I'm going to live for you. And just as a response to that, I just want you to raise your hand if you just know, you want to say to the Lord right now, I'm halfway. And maybe I was all the way, and I've been kind of halfway for a week or a month or a year or whatever it is. And honestly, like, this is all of us. Like, to some degree, we've been there, but maybe this is the time when you're like, I'm really feeling it right now, and I want to respond now. And all I want you to do is, you're going to respond to the Lord. And before you respond, or if you're responding, I want to tell you this. You're not doing this for me or for anyone in this room. You're saying to the Lord, I want to go all the way. Help me to remember I'm a new creation. And by sticking up your hand, you're going, I'm going to refresh that today. And I want you to remind me every day of what you did for me. That you died for me because you love me. And then I'm just going to ask, yeah, so if that's you, why don't you just raise your hand? We are. And there's no shame in this, because some of these guys might be on fire, but they just want to be more on fire. And I just want those that you see someone raised, just put your hand on their shoulder. And I'm going to pray for them. And if there's too many hands raised, just kind of touch each other. And not in an inappropriate way. So Lord, we come before you today. We remember what you did on the cross for us. On this Good Friday, Lord, we remember that you went all the way, that you held nothing back, and it wasn't just a moment, it was 33 years of intentionality for this moment. So God, I want to pray that there'd be an intentionality in our lives, that we would wake up every day, and especially for those with their hands raised right now, that we would feel the weight of this moment. Let us not be halfway. We are new creations. It doesn't suit us to be halfway. It's actually a weird place, and it's not a true place. It's a lie. We're either the one or the other, and today we know we're the other. We are born again. We are new. Amen. Amen.